Tithe and offering, we're going to go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17 talks about Elijah the Tishbite. Elijah the Tishbite was a prophet of God, mighty man of God who believed in God during a time when Israel was straying from God and didn't really want to have much to do with God. And they followed Baal, and the rulers were wicked and unjust people. Sounds familiar. And he had done what God had asked. He had pronounced judgment on Israel, and he said that by my word it shall not rain in Israel. And so a drought happened in all of Israel, and there was no rain that fell in Israel. And so they were drought, and the king was looking for him, wanted to kill him, because how dare he? And so God told him, he said, okay, go to the brook Cherith. I sent ravens there. I commanded them to provide for you. Went there. The brook started to dry up. God said, go to Zarephath. And he says in verse 8, says, the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he had a command of God, and he had to go. He had to go where God commanded him to go. And when he got there, there was the widow. He was sitting there, and this widow woman came out, and he says, hey, you, make me a cake. And she says, I only have enough for a small cake. I've got enough, a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, enough to make one small cake for me and my family. We are going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And he says, you know what? Make me a cake first. And so then she made a cake and gave it to him. And their meal and their oil didn't run out. So, you know, in order for us to walk in God's provision, first we need to go where God's told us to go. You can't just go anywhere. You can't just, you know, God told him to go to the brook Cherith. Well, he couldn't go to the brook Sunnydale. He couldn't go to the brook Jerusalem. He couldn't go anywhere else. He had to go to the brook Cherith because that's where he's told to go. And then he had to go to Zarephath and find a widow there. He couldn't go down to Somerset and find a widow there and get him to feed. You know, he couldn't go to Jerusalem and find a widow there. He couldn't go to Galilee and find a widow there. He couldn't go anywhere but where God had told him, because he said, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So first, we need to go where God's telling us to go. Sometimes we're not blessed because we're not where God told us to be. Where's God told you to be? If God's told you to be here, then your provision is here. It's not the church in wherever. It's not the church online. If God's called you to be here, then this is where your blessing is. And you're wondering, you know, you leave here and you go someplace else, and we've had people leave here and go someplace else that I was pretty sure needed to stay. And they wonder, why is it that I can never seem to get fulfilled? Why can I never, it seems like God's just not ministering to me anymore. It's because they're not where God told them to be. He said, I told you to be there. Well, I don't like some of the things he says. Well, maybe that's because you need to hear some of those things. Or maybe you need to endure with me so I get a little smarter. I am not perfect. I don't know everything. But God has called me to minister to you. And you're here because God's told you that there is a pastor in St. Croix Falls, 865, who's here to minister to you. And he is a provision for you. I have provision for you. You have to do that. And then when you get there, you've got to be willing. You got to be willing to do what needs to be done in order to see God's provision taken care of. The woman just said, oh, well, you know, we're going to die. We're all going to die. I'm just going to eat this and we're going to die. And the man of God had to be willing to have the courage to say, Give me the cake first. Oh, you think that was fun? A widow woman. She says, well, I'm going to make a kid for me, a cake for me and my kids. We're going to eat it and we'll die. And he says, okay, give me a little cake first. Feed me first. But I don't have any money. You know what? You need a tithe. You need a tithe. You know what? Every time that comes up, I can feel it. I can feel it. Somebody goes, who are you to tell me I need it? I'm telling you what the word says. The word says to tithe. Well, that's Old Testament. So is loving people. That's Old Testament. Do we not do that anymore? You know? So is worshiping God. That's Old Testament. Do we stop doing that? This is like the Old Testament has truths. You are not judged on whether or not you tithe. God's not going to accept you into heaven based whether you tithe or not. Whether you enter into the blessing is whether or not you're going to listen to wisdom and do what God's calling you to do. So you need a tithe. You want your stuff to be blessed and to prosper? Give me a little cake. I did not intend on doing this. Give me a cake. Give me a little bit. Provide. Give the church a little bit. Provide 10%. See what God will do. He says that in Malachi. He says, test me in this. Test him. Test him. Make a choice that you're going to give 10%. Now, don't say I'm going to give 10% this week and expect things to change. Commit to 3 months. Say, you know what, God, I'm going to try to do 10% for 3 months. And make a commitment to God and say that's what I'm going to do. You prove to me that this works. Watch him provide. You step out in faith. If you believe, watch what he'll do. Why do we do it? Why do we give? It's the same reason that he commanded the widow woman to provide for the prophet. Because God's ministers need to be taken care of. They have a job to do that doesn't produce anything in the natural realm. It produces in people. How do you quantify that? There's a lot of times I'm like, am I doing any good? I wonder, am I doing any good? And I have to look at your lives and say, are they progressing in God? Is my ministry producing anything in you? I hope so. I hope it's moving you forward in God and causing you to grow. But you can't quantify that. I don't produce anything. Like, physical, tangible. You can't buy it. So God has to command people to provide for us. That's what the church is. That's what the 10% is for. I can show you in the Old Testament. I have shown in the Old Testament where it says that the tithe is for taking care of the priests and the Levites. The tithe is for taking care of God's ministers. Whoever it is, whether it's me, whether it's somebody else, wherever God sends you, plug in and get involved, and have a little skin in the game. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is true. Your word is true. I know it's true. Lord, I know that you will bless them as they're obedient to what you've asked them to do, to be where you've called them to be, and to be obedient to do what you've called them to do. I know that you will. And I just thank you for that. Help them to see it. Help them to have the courage to step into it and see your name glorified. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm picking up with the teaching and ministry of Jesus. We're going to be in Matthew 13. And I've jumped ahead. This week, next week is before this week, but because of Next week is Palm Sunday, and that fits better with when I want to minister then, and this fits better for today. So we're flip-flopping. So this is after next week, but it's not that critical. I don't know why. I wasn't even going to tell you that, but, you know, I can't seem to stop myself sometimes. So, but part of the reason I want to talk about this, because we talked about, let's see, 2 weeks, was it 2 weeks ago? Yeah, 2 weeks ago I ministered last, and we talked about the condition of your tree. And I talked about sowing, I talked about, and so this is the parable of the sower. It's what we're going to talk about. And it's actually just right in line. This just happens to be in the text with as we're going through it. And this was right there. I'm like, okay, well, we'll just flop them. So in Matthew 13, starting in verse 1, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. A great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell in stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, yielding a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. But he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus is speaking this parable to the people. He's sitting by the seaside. All these people are coming to hear Jesus. This guy who's claiming to be the Messiah is doing miracle works. Awesome things are happening. It's amazing what's going on. They come to hear him, and he says, hey, the sower went out to sow. Okay, remember, this is an agricultural society. Most of these people lived on or around farm communities. You know, they didn't have tractors back then. You know, they walked around and they threw seeds. And the sower went out to sow. Okay, so a guy goes out to sow. You know, and he's sowing along, and it fell by the wayside. And the birds came and took it away. Some fell on stony ground, and it took root in the shallow dirt and sprung up, and then the heat came and it withered. It fell among the thorns and thistles, and the thorns and thistles came up and choked it off. And some fell on good ground, and you got some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. And all the people are sitting there go, well, yeah. And? Duh. They've all seen it. They live in an agricultural society. Most of them are probably farmers. Or they know somebody who's a farmer. It's a little bit like living in Western Wisconsin. You either know a farmer or you know somebody who knows a farmer. And so it's like, this is the great teaching that Jesus, this guy who's doing miracles, is. And everybody's going, I don't get it. What's that got to do with anything? You know, of course, that's what seeds do. That's what planters do. And the disciples came to him, verse 10, and the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? They're watching this, and they're looking at this, and they're going like, they're not getting anything out of this. And they're probably thinking, well, I'm not getting anything out of this. You guys know what he's talking about? And he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Okay. Where was I? Will be taken away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. Hearing, they do not hear. Nor do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears that they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Jesus' ministry is marked with people not understanding who he was. As he went around and taught the people and he shared the truths about the kingdom, people were confused. They were always confused, always asking questions. Even the disciples didn't understand. They're like, we don't get it. Even at some point, Jesus is like, oh, how long do I have to endure with this? How long do I have to put up with you guys? Come on, get with it. Keep up, let's go. But here he is, and he's telling them, and he's teaching them. And it says that the reason that he's doing that is because Isaiah said that hearing, they'll hear, but they'll not understand it. They won't hear things. They won't understand. They won't comprehend. They'll see it, but they won't get it. It's like, and their hearts won't respond because God prophesied that's what was going to happen. Therefore, that's what happened. Well, that doesn't seem very nice now, does it? How can we understand the things that God's doing? I mean, are you smart enough? Are you smart enough to understand the consequences of one person's decision to infect the entire group of humanity? I'm not. I mean, sometimes I'd like to think that I could get close, but you know, the reality is nobody can comprehend that, but God can. He understands why. Sometimes we think, God, why would I have to put up with this? Why? Well, for one thing, God gives people the freedom of choice. But God, why? Why me? Why me? Well, that's real comforting, Pastor. But the reality is you have Jesus. It doesn't matter what's come your way. It doesn't matter what life has brought you. It doesn't matter what sorrows, what evil has befallen your life, because you have Jesus. And because you have Jesus, whatever the devil has meant in your life for evil, he can and does turn to good. But you have to let him. You have to let him change that in your life. As long as you give the devil power in that area, God can never use it. As long as you continue to glorify it and say that it is bigger than God, God's grace, then it has preeminence over God. You've elevated it over God. But it was really bad. Yeah, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I can't change that. You know, some of us have had, some of us feel like we've been abused by the church and by ministers. I'm sorry. But you realize that ministers are trying to do what they believe is what God wants. And they make mistakes. They do things wrong. But it's not about what they did. It's about how you respond. Jesus didn't say if somebody does something bad to you, you hold a grudge for the rest of your life and wish them death. I don't believe I ever read that anywhere in the scriptures. Or even that they should suffer. Or have a difficult time. He said that you're supposed to forgive and love and pray for and hope the best for. Ooh. Yeah, the ways of the kingdom aren't the ways of the world. Our flesh naturally wants to go the way of the world. And the spirit that is in us desperately wants us to go the way of the kingdom. You know, the word is spoken. Jesus spoke the word. And they didn't understand it. But if everybody understood what Jesus was saying and completely understood that he was the Messiah, would they have crucified him? Would he have died for our sins? And would it have taken... Well, we won't go there. But he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Not everyone was blinded. Just those who had a hard heart. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears that they hear. For surely I say to you, many prophets and righteous desired to see what you see. Think about that. How many prophets and saints would desire to know the amount of scripture that you have available to you? The teachings that are available to you. How many of them would have loved to have had that? But they had to struggle through with what they knew, only what they knew. And we have something far better than the prophets and righteous men. We have the Spirit of God in us. There's no comparison. You know, we look at the world today. Before Christ, the Spirit of God was not in the hearts of men. There wasn't a man on the earth that had the Spirit of God in his heart. Not one. Yeah, it would have been a dark place. It would have been a dark place. But now the Spirit of God resides in the hearts of men. Not only does he reside in the hearts of those that believe, but he is constantly striving with those that don't to lead them to righteousness, to show them the goodness of God. Verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received it by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise, for the word immediately... Let's try that again. Yet he has no root in himself, for he endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. All right, let's break this down a little bit, shall we? The kingdom of God cannot be understood unless you have the key. You cannot understand the things of the kingdom unless you have the key. Jesus said, you can't see the kingdom unless you've been born again. Unless you've been born again, you can't see the kingdom. So if somebody's not born again, they don't have the key to understand the kingdom. So you can't expect an unbeliever to understand kingdom things. You can't speak to them about kingdom things. And that's the wayside. A little more than that. The wayside, Therefore, the parable of the sower, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. Okay? So the wayside is that person when you say something to them and they don't get it. And then the devil just comes and takes it away. You know what? Jesus loves you and he cares for you. Who's Jesus? See, it can be just taken away. They don't know who Jesus is. Who's Jesus? They don't know anything about it. Okay, I'm going to jump on a little bunny trail here for a minute. So, sometimes we think that the people in this world know who God is and that they were raised in a society in which promotes God. And the reality is we live more in a pagan society now than we have in times past. This isn't the 1950s where people knew about Jesus. This is more of a time when, they've set up a new temple for Thor over in wherever it is over there in that place where they worshiped that way long ago. I mean, this is like people are becoming pagans again. And they're worshiping pagan. They don't know nothing about Jesus. And this is like we sometimes think, you know what? You know, the Bible says, what Bible? I mean, you really got to be clueless to not know that one. But, you know, there's some out there to not know what we're talking about. But it's just like you can't tell them. We're getting to the point in our world where we can't expect them for us to say, the Bible says, and expect that they're going to take authority from that. They don't care. They don't know. And it's just like if we take that stand, if we just take the assumption that they understand what Scripture says and what the Bible stories are, the seed will be taken away immediately because they don't understand. You know, you get somebody who doesn't understand something in the kingdom and it's just immediately taken away. You can get believers who don't understand something. Okay, wait a minute. You're telling me that if I give a tenth of my income to the church, God's going to bless me. Yeah. That sounds hokey. You're just trying to get money out of me. I don't believe you. You're just a money grubber. Immediately, the devil comes and takes it away because they have no root and they have nothing to grab. There's no ground there. They've got nothing to understand the concept of God and what God's wanting to do. It's hardened. It can't penetrate. When the word comes, there's no capacity in the person to understand and it's immediately removed. And you can't use Christianese with unchurched individuals. I mean, we have to be discerning. You can't use Christianese on people. They won't get it. I remember. No, I don't want to tell you that story. That's embarrassing. Okay. So, there was a job that my dad and I had done, and in the process of doing this job, it was remodeling a kitchen. Forgive them, Dad. They didn't know what they were doing. We did this kitchen, and they found out that I had done wood floors, and they asked me if I'd do their wood floors. I said, sure. And we were under contract with the cabinets, and I said to them, we were under contract with a builder. And so I said, okay, but I want to get paid directly from you because I was seeing some of the things going on and something didn't seem right. And I wanted to make sure that I was going to get paid for the work that I was doing. And so it comes to a point, I got paid for that. We lost out on the kitchen. They didn't pay us because they said they paid the contractor and the contractor said that they didn't pay him enough and we got lost in the shuffle and we lost out on a bunch of money. Took him to court. We took the builders the owners to court because we couldn't get a hold of the builder. And this guy had obviously done it before because he set up his finances in such a way that there was no way we could get anything from them. So we took the owners to court, and we're sitting there, and the judge says to me, "Why are you here?" And I said, "Well, I was there, and I heard this." And it's just like, well, I had gotten paid because it didn't feel right. And so then she says to me, "Oh, what? The cabinets talked to you?" Because she didn't understand. I was using a Christianese. I was talking about the Spirit speaking in my heart. But she didn't understand it because she was carnal. The judge didn't get it. And so, you know, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. We can't use Christianese to try to talk to people. They're just not going to understand. So we need to talk to them. That's why Paul says, "I become all men to all, that I become all things to all men, that by any means I might win some." That's what he's talking about. Not that he becomes all men, that he begins to identify with them. He begins to talk their vernacular. He begins to understand their situation so that he can speak to them in their situation. You know what? You can't use Christianese with people who work in the construction industry. It's never going to work. So you have to think, okay, how can I explain kingdom things in their vernacular? How can I, if I work in the medical industry, how can I explain kingdom things to them in the way they speak? If I'm a public school teacher, how can I explain it to them? You know, in whatever industry, wherever you're at, even in your own family, how can I explain kingdom things to them? How can I take what God has shown me and put it in a different way that they can receive it? That way, then they can understand. That way, then they can understand. Moving on, verse 18. No, I'm past that one. That's the wayside. Verse 20. "But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in themselves, but only endures for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise, because of the word, immediately he stumbles." These people understand. They get it. They understand what's being said. They grasp it. And they get really excited. But they have no character. That's what it's talking about. They have no root in themselves. They have shallow ground. They have no root in themselves. They have no character in which to grasp a hold of and to endure in difficulty. And I was thinking of an example for this. Peter is a great example of the stony ground. Peter got so excited about the things of God, but then also always got himself into trouble. And the greatest example of this is Peter called Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus had told him, "Oh, God has revealed this to you. Upon this rock, I am going to build my church." It's upon the revelation that he's the Son of God, not Peter himself. Just clear that up a little bit. But this guy who looked at Jesus and said, "You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the one that we've been waiting for and hoping for," denies Jesus 3 times. He says, "No, I don't know this guy. I don't know who he is." 3 times. He had to intentionally and purposefully say, "I don't know Jesus." Because he didn't have root in himself. He was a very excitable guy. It's like, "Yeah, God!" But he didn't have character in himself. He was just an excitable guy. It's just like, character had to be forged in him. And you see it later on in his life. He gained character. The Holy Spirit in him helped him to grow. So a lot of times we can hear things and we get really excited. This is actually, this is the first scripture God ever spoke to me. This is the very first scripture. I remember I was a kid who was raised in a Lutheran church, and I had been born again. I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I made him my Lord and Savior. I said, this is the God I'm going to serve. And I remember when I was older, I think I was about 17. No, I would have been 18. So I was 18. It was my senior year. And I, during this time, I had decided, you know what? I need to know what the Bible says. If I'm following Jesus, I need to know what it says. And so I started reading it. And during my study periods, I would sit there and read it. And I was reading this scripture. I remember sitting in study hall, and I'm reading this scripture and thinking about it. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. First time God ever spoke to me. You need roots. Mike, it's startling. But God spoke to me. I need roots. I don't have character. I'll hear the word of God and I'll get excited about it, but then the minute tribulations come, I'm going to wither away. I'm going to say, it's too much. I can't handle it. And that has stuck with me since then. I'm constantly thinking, I need to get my roots deeper. I need to get my roots deeper. The next one's the cluttered. Verse 22. Now he who receives a seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitful of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know what's a good example of this one? The rich young ruler. In the parable of the rich young ruler, a rich young ruler comes to Jesus. What must I do? What must I do to be saved? And he says, you know what the scriptures say? Love the Lord your God. Love people. Do what's right. He says, I have kept all of these from my youth. Jesus said, he looked at him and loved him. And he says, you lack but one thing. Give up everything and follow me. And he turned and walked away. He was sorrowful because he had many riches. He heard the word. The word was planted. He realized he needed to be saved. He needed eternal life. He wanted eternal life. But then Jesus said something to him that he just couldn't quite get there because it was in amongst all the weeds. Well, I need this and I need that. And what am I going to do if I don't have this and I don't have that? You know, how many of us find ourselves in situations where we think, you know what? I can't do that because if I do that, then I'll not have this. There's nothing wrong with that thought. But when God speaks to you and says, I want you to do this, and you say, well, God, I can't do that because then I might not be secure. I might not have all my provision. I might not have everything that's comfortable for me. You mean I got to leave this job and go someplace else? But God, I've worked here for 20 years. I've got a great thing going here. Do you know how much money I make because I've worked here this long and how many time I've got off? And you want me to leave this job and go someplace new and start over? God, why would I can't do that. No, I can't. The Word of God, when God speaks to us, is it important to us? Do we take it in? Is it so important to us that we're willing to forsake everything else to keep it? Verse 23. But he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. And I thought about this one, and I thought about this one, and I was thinking, okay, where's a good example of somebody who is good ground to receive a seed? And I thought, I'm like, well, yeah, maybe. And then Zacchaeus came up. I said, ah, there's a great example. It's in Luke 19. Verse 1, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come seeking and saving that which was lost. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He said, I want to see Jesus. I want to see this guy. Is this guy who is promised, is he the son of David? Is he the Messiah? I want to see this guy. I want to know. You know, he's a short guy. You know, short guys can't see anything in a crowd. So, you know, being smart, he climbs a tree. He's a chief tax collector. He's a smart guy. He climbs up in a tree. He's like, I can get up here. I'm small. You guys are too big. You're going to bend these limbs. So he can get up in the tree. And Jesus came and he saw him. And he said, Zacchaeus, I need to come to your house. And everybody started grumbling. Lord, why are you going to go there? This guy's a sinner. Zacchaeus was afraid of losing his opportunity. He was afraid that Jesus was going to pass him by because people were speaking out against him and saying how evil of a man he was and how wicked he was. And he said, I'm all in. Jesus, I'm going to give half of all of my goods. Half of everything, it goes to the poor. And if I've cheated or defrauded anyone, I will return it four times. He said, I'm willing to give it all. I'm willing to give it all up. Because who knows, you know, I don't know how many people he cheated. He knew. I mean, he was a tax collector. He could probably do the mathematical computations in his head, and he's thinking, I might just have enough left. But, you know, he's just like, he was willing to take the chance. He took it, and he said, you know what? If this stuff is going to keep me back from having Jesus, I don't want it. I don't want it. So it's like, and he knew that, you know what? I'm going to give. I'm going to show that I'm willing to give up what I've been given to help the poor. Because Jesus has preached on that, helping the poor. So I'm gonna be in. Jesus, I'm in. And if I've done anything wrong to anyone, I make restitution. If I've wronged you, I'm sorry. I will return it. He was in. He was good ground. And it produced 100, 60, or 30. And this isn't like, you know, you put 100 seeds in and you get 100 seeds back, or you put 100 seeds in and you get 30 back. It's off of one seed. You get 100 seeds for one. You get 60 seeds for one. You get 30 seeds for one. You know what? The great thing about it is, if you receive a seed from the kingdom, it will always produce more than you put in. Always. It'll always produce more. That makes it incredibly valuable. And depending on how you tend it is how much you're going to get out of it. Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Here's the word of God. Here's the word of God. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. And stop worrying about stuff. Stop worrying about it. And the word's been planted. The word's been planted. Somebody's going to say, well, what do I care about the kingdom? What does that even mean? I don't even, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's like, what do I care? I'm not even sure I believe in God. And the seed comes and takes it away. The devil takes it away. Some people will be like, yes! You know what? God's going to take care of all of my stuff. He's going to take care of all of my stuff. He said, you know what? If I believe, if I seek first his kingdom, all these things are going to be added. I'm not going to have to worry about anything. I can just go along, live my life, and do whatever I want. God will take care of it. It's going to be awesome. And then things in life start coming up. You know, people go, aren't you going to do something? Aren't you going to worry about this? Oh, no, Jesus has got it. He's taking care of it. But you don't have any money. And this is like, and then you got all those friends. Well, you know, but you need this and you need that. And then pretty soon, because of the persecution, they're like, well, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing God taking care of me. God's not taking care, you know, he's not taking care of my finances. He's not, I thought he was just going to take care of everything. He said, you know, he would make sure that I was taken care of. Yeah, you need to go to work. You know, you need to invest. You got to have character. You got to have character to say, yes, God's going to take care of it. So seeking first the kingdom is what? Doing what God's called you to do. What's God called you to do? He's called you to go to work. Bible tells us, man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Doesn't say that about women, but it does say that about men. See, there's benefits in the scriptures. But, you know, it's just like, then because of persecution, because of stuff that happens, then people are like, you know, well, apparently that's not true. Or, you know, you get the person who's, well, yeah, but I've got all of these things. You know, I've got to worry about my kids. I've got to worry about my husband, make sure all of this stuff's taken care of. And we've got bills and we've got this debt. And it's just like, I might lose my job. It's like, I don't have time to seek first the kingdom. And we miss out. And you're worried about all the other stuff. Some people will hear the scriptures, they'll hear the word of God that says, seek first the kingdom. And all these things will be added to you, and don't worry about it. So seek first the kingdom means what? We walk in righteousness. We bring glory and honor to God through following his word and being obedient to who he is. Not just what is said, but who he is. And as we grow in that, we produce more fruit. And we don't worry about it because he said, don't worry about it, but in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. It doesn't mean that we're not aware of it, but we don't let it control our lives. We bring it to God and then we trust that God has the answer. And that as we trust God that he has the answer, then we're seeking first the kingdom and trust that his answer is true, even when we don't know what to do. And when he tells us to do something, we do it because we seek first the kingdom. Well, you know, I'm barely scraping by. I just never seem to have enough to get by. I never seem to have enough to get by. So how could I possibly give? Give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall be given into your bosom. Shall men give into your bosom? It's like, oh, my company is not, it's just not, I'm getting no contracts. And you know, I give. Wait, what? You want me to give money away so I have less money to do what God's called me to do? Or to provide for my family? Yeah. How's that work? I don't know, it works though. I could tell you time after time after time, when I ran my business as a hardwood floor guy, I didn't have any contracts. I gave. I made a choice and I gave. I gave either I gave money into the church or I gave of my time to do something, some project. Just like that, I'd have contracts. It's amazing. Give and it will be given. It's like, do we take the word and make it part of our lives even if we don't understand why? We don't have to understand why. Do we believe? Do we believe? Well, sort of. Okay. Then move forward. Take some steps forward. Take a chance on God and do his word, even if you don't understand it, and let him glorify his name. He is faithful to do what he promised to do. But we have to do what's required of us to enter into the promise. He said, seek first the kingdom, then we have to seek first the kingdom. If he said believe, then we have to believe. If he said forgive, then we need to forgive. We can't ignore our part in this. We have to respond to what the word says. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that your word is life, that your word is peace, that your word is joy, that you are the word of God made manifest in this world. And if we ever have any questions, we can look to you and you have the answers. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that you lead us and guide us. Lord, let your word be alive inside of us and that it's planted in good ground. Help us to be good soil to receive your word so that we can produce 100, 60, and 30 times. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad you all came. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week.